Hallelujah! Christ is risen. I will, a quick word, first of all, of how your bulletin works. We are, for the first time since the pandemic, going to sing this morning. I do ask that you do so relatively quietly and behind your mask. The key is to keep aerosols from getting in the air as much as we can. So please do wear your mask. Please do sing relatively quietly. But we will sing this morning, and those words can be found in the insert in your bulletin. The large denomination-wide offerings, the one great hour of sharing, as you can see in your booklet here, provides relief from all sorts of things that can go wrong in our world. Natural disaster, food, support. That is what our offering this morning is going to. And there's an envelope and there's an informational booklet there. And I believe we had a wonderful event yesterday that Linda Ely is going to tell us about. And Linda, if you wouldn't mind coming up to this microphone here so the people joining us by live stream can hear you as well.
I didn't dress accordingly, I'm sorry. It was a busy morning. Here we go. Is that on? Can y'all hear?
Yeah.
Okay. We had a day. We had a day with 40 children. They came from the community. They came as far as Hillsville. I think we advertised digitally, thanks to Nathan and all of those helpers that can do that. Sarah Jane put it on Facebook. We had a beautiful day with ponies. I really want to thank everyone that brought a critter. There were critters to pet, there were ponies to ride, there were stories to tell. And it was really a gorgeous day. We had 40 kids sitting on the stairs right here listening to a story of why we look for Easter eggs. I think that was the gist of it. And it was a great day. I really appreciate everyone that made that possible. We ran out of eggs, we ran out of candy. We planned on 10 kids. We fed the masses, what can I say?
And thank you.
So thank you all.
Thank you to Linda and to Teresa especially for pulling that off. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship, and let us pray. Lord our God, we are so grateful that we can gather here in your presence this morning of all mornings, Easter morning, when we celebrate the resurrection of your Son from death. We pray that our worship would be worthy of such a glorious event, that you would remove from us all of our distractions and worries and allow us to focus on you with purity and singleness of heart.
Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The hymn is Jesus Christ is Risen Today, and it's in your bulletin.
Thank you.
to come into God's presence without noticing by comparison how frail we are and prone to sin. But the good news of the gospel is that God is eager to hear our confession and eager to forgive. So with joy and with confidence, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Almighty God, you have raised Jesus from the grave and crowned him Lord of all. We confess that we have not bowed before him or acknowledged his rule in our lives. We have gone along with the way of the world and failed to give him glory. Forgive us and raise us from sin, that we may be your faithful people, obeying the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ, who rules the world and is head of the church, his body. Amen. Friends, who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And be at peace.
Thank you.
As we prepare to hear the gospel read this morning, let us pray. Lord, you wrote this scripture for our benefit, not for yours. We ask that you would give us ears to hear clearly, hearts to love what we hear, and the will to live by it forever. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Scripture reading this morning, Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. Hear the word of the Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices, so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone from us, from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. See, these women thought they knew what was going on. They had that grim practicality that grief can bring, apparently some of the insomnia as well. Jesus was dead, gruesomely their friend and teacher, and in one case their son, and their hopes were dead with him, and the only thing to do was the next thing. I'm sure you've been there. Death is terrible, but there's a ritual that goes along with it. You got to let the rest of the family know, contact the funeral home, call the pastor, write the obituary. And just like us, those women knew what to do when faced with the body of someone they loved. So one step at a time, they were taking care of it, just like I'm sure they had taken care of it before with their parents or their friends. Wait till the Sabbath is over. Go to the grave. Clean up the body. Rub some fragrant mask, the smelly reality of death. We know what that's like. We do it too. It's just a little higher tech now. Chemicals and makeup. But we're all looking to add a little facade of life, to show that we still love the person who died, for a way to add back a little dignity to the inherently undignified state of death. We're looking for ways to make the problem of death just a little less glaring. Jesus had died on Friday evening, right as the Sabbath fell. No work could be done. It ended on Saturday night when it was too dark to see. So on Sunday morning, as soon as up a little bit, they set off to do what had to be done, would do for anyone. And the only open question in the day's procedure appears to be who was going to roll that big stone away from the tomb. The men apparently were unavailable. John tells us they were still in hiding. So the women were going to have to rely on a gardener or some other worker to pull that stone away. Like Mary and Salome, you and I understand death. That's not the hard part of the story. It's not even hard to understand Jesus' death. Death is a basic problem of human life, and it's coming for all of us. It's the period at the end of our lives when it isn't more like a gash. Fortunately, it hovers in the shadows most of the time. No one likes to think about it. But when you do have to think about it, when it forces itself on you, it's a problem. It's an unavoidable and deeply discouraging fact of life. The Apostle Paul knows what he's talking about when he calls it the last enemy to be destroyed or defeated. It's not neutral. Death is the enemy of life, and even a version of Christianity that denies that is got a loose grip on reality. Death is a problem, and it's inevitable. We hate it, but we understand it. We have a grip on it, more or less. And so we understand the women who go to the tomb to do what needs to be done. They have their to-do list, and they're off to do it. But as soon as they show up, the whole project gets turned on its head. It turns out they didn't need to worry about the sealed-up tomb after all. It's already open when they get there. But now they have a whole new set of problems. One, they don't have a grip on, because the person inside isn't dead. And it's just not even Jesus. It's an angel. A young man in bright clothes, a messenger from God. You can tell he's an angel because the first thing he says is the first thing that angels always say, which is, "Do not be afraid." Mary's heard that before in her life. When she was barely more than a child in Nazareth, engaged to be married to the town carpenter. "Don't be afraid." And it doesn't seem to work. I don't think it would work on me. The women keep being afraid. But the angel moves on anyway to the heart of the message, to the really important news. Jesus is not here. He's alive. He's gone to Galilee. Go tell the other disciples and Peter to meet him there. The story's not over. Not for Jesus, who's alive again, not for the disciples who are still hiding, not for Peter, who had denied him 3 times just a few days ago and earns a shout out here, not for the women who had come to do what you do when there's a corpse that you love. They'd all thought the story was over. The story of Jesus. Death had ended it. Death ends everything. That's the certainty. And suddenly that certainty had been cracked open. Death swallows up life. That's what it does until they show up at the tomb, and suddenly it doesn't anymore. Suddenly death had been swallowed up by life. Suddenly the situation that they were in control of has control of them and is issuing them strange commands. And their reaction is to run away. They're terrified, trembling, bewildered. They flee the tomb and they don't tell anyone because they're afraid. That's not how you thought the reading today would end, did you? If you're following along in your Bible, or if you've read this before at home or at church, the page that it's on probably looks a little funny. There's probably a line after verse 8 or a gap, and there's a sentence in parentheses that says something like, "The earliest manuscripts and some other witnesses do not have verses 9 to 20. Our earliest manuscripts of Mark end here with the women afraid and silent. The other Gospels don't end like this. It's not a very satisfying conclusion. And to make it a little more complicated, not only does the Gospel of Mark seem to end in the middle of the story, it ends in the middle of the sentence. It ends on a proposition, for. Not the way a Greek speaker would end a thought. It's like us ending on "and" or "because." The end. It just breaks off. There's not a nice, neat, tidy, controlled ending. What are we going to make of that? I don't know, but I have a suggestion. What if
It was like the angel in the tomb, sitting where we expected to find a body. Easter only comes once a year, but it does come every year. And by now, we know what to expect. We know what you do on Easter. Our celebration today is joyful, the more so for being the first Lord's Day that we are together in a long time. But it's very familiar, isn't it? The music, our clothes, the lilies down there, the flowers. Christ is risen. All of this is our celebration of the strange story of Easter, the destruction of the power of pain and death. We come and we worship in specific ways, and then we go home and eat jelly beans and ham and Easter cake. At least that's what I'm going to do. I suspect it's what you're going to do too. All that has long since become tradition for us, and we know what's coming, and it's as certain as some ways, if we're not careful, as certain as death. When it comes, we do what needs to be done, and we don't pay it much mind otherwise. But instead of hearing the same Easter story we've always heard, told in the same way the other three Gospels tell it, here's Mark ending in the middle of a sentence, in the middle of the women's fear and silence. Of course, their fear and silence is only part of the story. There's a reason it comes in the middle of the sentence. We know from other places in the Bible and from our own history that they did eventually tell someone. We wouldn't be here otherwise. We know that they did go tell the other disciples, and the disciples did go meet Jesus in Galilee, but Mark breaks off and doesn't tell us that. And like the women, we're thrown off balance. The story that we thought was neat and closed and, above all, over, to be revisited once a year like you visit a graveyard, is thrown open. It isn't finished yet, as it turns out. It isn't finished yet. And suddenly you're a part of it, swept up by the grace of God into the good news of Jesus Christ's resurrection. The part that's written down is only the middle of the sentence. The end, like Jesus himself, is going ahead of you. It turns out on Easter, all sorts of things we thought were over turn out to be the middle of the sentence. Peter's denial of Jesus was only the middle of the sentence. The fear and silence of the women was only the middle of the sentence. The tomb of Jesus was only the middle of the sentence. The story wasn't over. It was just beginning. That's the message we hear at Easter, sitting in Jesus' tomb where we thought we would find a body. The Lord is not here. He's out of the tomb and uncontained and going in front of you. And because that's true, you'll find that the set limits and certainties in your own life have cracked apart. The gospel hasn't ended. You're part of it now. And even your death, as it turns out, is only the middle of the sentence. So to the God of all grace, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Please join me as we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Then is the day of resurrection. It's in your bulletin.
Need your communion elements, raise your hand for me and we'll get you some. Okay. Then friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and from north and south to sit at table in the kingdom of God. We hear from the Gospel of Luke that when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread and blessed and broke and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Do not come because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because any of us by our own merits is righteous, but because we all stand in need of the forgiving grace of God. Do not come to assert an opinion, but to celebrate a presence. All is ready. The Lord invites you to share in the feast that he has prepared. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right, and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, creator and ruler of the universe. At your word, the earth and the heavens were made. Your hand formed us from the dust of the earth and set us among all your creatures to love and serve you. When we were unfaithful to you, you kept faith with us. Your love remained steadfast. When we were slaves in Egypt, you broke the bonds of our oppression, brought us through the sea to freedom, and made covenant to be our God. By a pillar of fire, you led us through the desert to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. You spoke of love and justice in the prophets, and in the Word made flesh, you lived among us, manifesting your glory. He died that we might live, and is risen to raise us to new life. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent to save us. He came with healing and was wounded for our sins. He came with mercy and was mocked as one despised. He came with peace and met with violence and death. By your power, he broke free from the prison of the tomb, and at his command, the gates of hell were opened. The one who was dead now lives. The one who humbled himself is raised to rule over all creation, the Lamb upon the throne. The one ascended on high is with us always, as he promised. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and this cup from the gifts you have given us and celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Jesus Christ. Accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as a living and holy offering of ourselves, that our lives may proclaim the one crucified and risen. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, so that the bread we break and the cup we bless may, we may find communion in the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in every place. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal kingdom. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus took bread, and having given thanks for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you." The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." Jesus also said, "I am the vine. You are the branches. Cut off from me, you can do nothing." Let us pray. Eternal God, we praise you that your glory has dawned on us and brought us into this day of resurrection. We rejoice that the grave could not hold your Son and that he has conquered death, risen to rule over all powers of this earth. We praise you that he summons us into new life, to follow him with joy and gladness. By your Spirit, lift us from doubt and despair, and set our feet in Christ's holy way, that our lives may be signs of his life, and all we have may show forth his love. Praise, glory, and thanksgiving to you, our God, forever and ever. Amen. The last hymn is "Thine Be the Glory." Love and serve the Lord. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.